Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now for our weekly Patriots Monday chat with Boomer Esiason. Boomer!
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. You are brought to us today by Town Fair Tire and your New England Kubota tractor dealers. And I'm going to start it off and ask whether this is the worst Tom Brady-led offense that the Patriots have ever had.
Well, I mean, yesterday's first half, he had 14 incompletions. That's the most incompletions he's ever had in a half. So I guess I could say to agree with your argument that, yeah, I guess it was yesterday. But yesterday was against a tough physical football team, and it was the weather wasn't that great. The wind was blowing, and I don't know how many screen passes they attempted yesterday. Probably about 10. So they were very cautious, and you know that was a hard football game to win. And I think walking off of the field with a 17-10 win, you feel pretty good, and you exhale because you know the Eagles gave you everything they could have. And the one thing I think about the Eagles, they don't have wide receivers who can get down the field. And Carson Wentz certainly was having problems, especially on third down. And it was, I think they only ran about 65 plays, the Eagles. So it was, even though it wasn't a dominating performance from the offensive perspective, the defense had a whale of a football game.
I mean, Tom really needed a hug after that game last night. have you ever seen him so dejected after a win?
And I think he always strives for perfection. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that when you look at the way that first quarter went, they barely had the ball, and he was standing on the sideline. And, you know, he kept warming up over there, and, you know, he was getting a little bit antsy. And those are situations where you become frustrated because you can't do anything because you don't have the football. So, I don't know. I would just say that yesterday was one of those ugly wins, and there's this thought process out there that a win is never ugly, and I would agree with that.
You know, his body coach, his Svengali, Alex Guerrero, was on the show this past week and told us that he thinks that Tom is saying, apparently, that he can play till 46 or 47. What do you think?
Wow. You know, I'm glad he feels that confident. You know, a few more games like this, I don't necessarily know that Bill Belichick's going to want him to play, right? I mean, think about that. But, you know, he's still the leader. He's still the unquestioned face of the franchise. And, you know, maybe I was thinking that when that came out, I saw that. I was thinking maybe L.A. and the warm weather and everything might work out pretty well for him the final 3 or 4 years of his career.
Can they win a Super Bowl if the offense doesn't improve significantly?
They'll improve once they get healthier along the offensive line. And, you know, if you take this game in a bubble, there's a couple things that the Eagles do have, and that is a very fierce pass rush and really good defensive line. That's one of the reasons why they were throwing as many screen passes that they were throwing. They were trying to limit the amount of hits that they were going to get on Tom. The fact that, you know, the total yards, I think, for the Patriots was under 300 yards, I just kind of speaks to that defensive line. You know, this wasn't, just an also-ran team. This is not the Bengals that they're playing against or the Washington Redskins or even the Giants. I mean, this is a really good, physical, experienced defensive line. And I think that defensive line showed its wares against many backup offensive linemen for the New England Patriots. So I know we sit here today and we say it wasn't pretty, it wasn't a Picasso, but, you know, a win is a win, man. I don't care. And you're on the road and you're against a physical team that's trying to save its season. I walk away from that game just saying, man, thank God we won it, and now we look forward to next week.
Boomer, I'd like to congratulate you and all of us in this room because we successfully survived the Marshall Newhouse era with the New England Patriots. Now, can you tell me, you chucked the ball around the yard for a long time. Does a left tackle really mean that much to an offense on the whole, not just protecting the blind side, because people are so excited for Isaiah Wynn to come back and join this team?
Well, you know, you're talking to a guy who played with arguably the greatest left tackle of all time, and that's Anthony Munoz. And what a great left tackle does, it allows the other four offensive linemen to work in concert with one another, and you never, ever have to worry about, you know, the outside pass rushers coming from the defense's right side. And that's a big deal because when I played, at least, that's where most of the pass rushers were coming from. I was left-handed, so it was my front side. But anytime you have a talented or a first-round talent playing that position, that's the last thing you ever worry about. So I think it's a big deal. There's no, hey, look, Marshall Newhouse is not built to be a left tackle against today's pass rushers. That's all there is to it. And he went out there and gave his best effort, did everything he possibly could. And, you know, they're still winning football games with that. So I look at it a little bit differently. I say, you know, thank you for giving everything you possibly could, even though you're not, it's not the greatest situation for him or us, but somebody had to do it. And now when they get Isaiah Wynn back, hopefully they'll be a little bit better over there and they'll be a little bit more likely to hold on to the ball and throw the ball down the field. But I'm just telling you, Philadelphia is a tough, tough, physical, experienced football team. And I think coming out of there with a win, that's all that really matters.
What's your best guess about what Gronk's big announcement is tomorrow morning?
He's still on the Tide team or something? I'm not sure. I think he's playing all of us. That's what I think. And I think whoever he's announcing something for, CBD oil or Tide or PepsiCo or whoever the hell he's doing business for now, it's going to be one of those things.
How many of these will we fall for, though?
Oh, God.
I mean, are there another three left? Or is the entire media scrum is probably going to be there tomorrow morning?
Well, I think they'll be disappointed, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he'll surprise all of us. I would say maybe there's a 1% chance he's going to sit here and say that he's coming back to New England, but that would be great for the Patriots, but that seems to me to be very unlikely.
Gronk's potential return aside, Boomer, the Pats have now clinched their 19th consecutive winning season. Do you think that's the most impressive achievement of the Brady Belichick dynasty?
I think the division wins are right up there with this this little accomplishment. But I don't know, the 9 Super Bowls to me is just amazing. The brilliance and the greatness to get there 9 times, and you know, to always be in the game. And you know, even Tom was talking, I think, to you guys last week about the stinging of the loss of Super Bowl 52.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he has that ability to say that about that particular game when
right.
he had 8 other ones that he could have went back to and talked about. So I don't know. It's all amazing what they've accomplished. I don't think we'll never see it again in this. There's no way we will ever see this again, because there will never be another coach that will have the amount of control that Bill has up there and how he's manipulated it, worked it, and replaced different players with spare parts and still won. It's nothing short of a miracle.
We spent a lot of time Friday, Boomer, on whether Myles Garrett should have faced criminal charges. I'm wondering where you stand on that in sports in general.
You know, I think he probably would have faced criminal charges had it been in Pittsburgh. I don't think he's going to, you know, have criminal charges brought against him, especially if Mason Rudolph said he'd rather leave it on the football field. You know, I just think the whole thing was a disgrace. And, you know, it just goes to show you the inexperience of a head coach who's lost his team. And and you lose your team in more ways than one, not just an action by one player the way that it happened. But you look at the totality of the season, the amount of penalties, the amount of problems, the amount of issues, from Odell Beckham Jr. wearing a, you know, unauthorized visor to wearing a watch on the field to doing the dopey thing with the cleats, and you know, all that crap just erodes away at what I believe is the respect of the game and really the way the game should be played. And then it manifests itself on the field in many different ways, and one of those ways is penalties. So, you know, that team completely imploded. I go back to the general manager, John Dorsey. He's the one who hired Freddie Kitchens to coach this collection of personalities. And I don't necessarily know that Freddie's the right guy. They need somebody that has a wealth of experience and somebody who's been through the ringer before. I'm not sure who that coach would have been at the time, but Freddie Kitchens obviously is not that guy.
Nipping at the heels of the Patriots are the Baltimore Ravens, who obviously beat them just 2 weeks ago. Do you think yesterday that was more the Texans not showing up, or are the Ravens that much more for real? Because that was a beatdown.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think people are really having a hard time with Lamar. And Lamar made a couple plays yesterday where he wiggled out of a couple tackles where the defenders were right there for the Texans. But, you know, he's such a great athlete, and he is really the end thing right now. He's the thing that everybody's really interested in and waiting to see whether or not a team can beat them. I think they play San Francisco this week in Baltimore. So if that's the case, we'll get to see one of the better defenses go against him. So we'll see, you know, how he fares this week against a good team. You know, he's the guy. He's the guy right now, and assuming he can stay healthy and make it all the way through the season, I would think it's going to be, you know, New England versus either Baltimore or Kansas City. That's how I see the AFC Championship game playing out.
Who do you think was the winner this weekend, Boomer, Colin Kaepernick, or the NFL?
I think Colin Kaepernick lost in my eyes. I think that, you know, this is a joke. It's a travesty. And what team in the NFL would want to deal with this fiasco? It's all the reasons why you don't want it. You saw it. You saw it unfold, right in front of our faces. And yeah. They could talk about waivers and all this other crap. You know, I want to hear it from Colin. I don't want to hear it from Eric Reed. You know, Colin never really talks for himself. And he made a little statement right after he was done, but took no questions from this transparent media that he keeps talking about. How about you being transparent? I just think the shakedown of the NFL is continuing here. I just kind of feel like there's another lawsuit coming. He said, I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. That tells me that if something doesn't happen here in the offseason with one of the 32-member clubs, there's another lawsuit coming. So too bad. You know, he doesn't deserve to play in the NFL. He's done. This fiasco this weekend just kind of further, I think, cements that that theory amongst most of us who have ever played the game.
Well, it's almost like he's taunting everybody, and he's misjudging, I think, the way the fans feel. The fans want you to go out and play football. And if that's what it's supposed to be about, go out there, show up, and play football, and leave the other stuff behind.
Well, I see this is the thing. What is it about? I mean, I think most coaches want their football players to be thinking about football when they come to the facility. They don't want to be talking about social justice issues. That's far away from the field. This can create all sorts of distractions within the body of a football team. And I don't necessarily know that there are too many coaches in this league that could handle that circus or that fiasco. Now, Bill could handle it. I think Andy Reid could probably handle it. You know, just a couple of coaches that I could think could handle it. Most of them can't. And watching how that whole thing unfolded just makes me think even stronger that we'll never see him in an NFL uniform. I think a lot of the NFL people are really disappointed with his actions. And if it comes down to the waiver, and the waiver was written a certain way and all this other stuff, and is Nike trying to do a commercial? I mean, you know, the whole thing is like, I'm telling you right now, I know Roger Goodell. I spoke with Roger Goodell last week. I interviewed him for a show that I'm doing. We didn't get into the Colin Kaepernick thing, but off the air, I was asking him about player issues and things of that nature. And my feeling is that he wants players playing, and he was hoping that Colin would show the rest of the NFL that maybe he still has something left in the tank and maybe one team would take a chance on him. He really wants him on the field, or at least have an opportunity to be on the field. But after what happened on Saturday and the way the whole thing went down, and the commentary from Colin at the end of it, I doubt anybody's going to take him seriously, that he really wants to truly play football. I think he wants to be like many have felt, a martyr in this case. So, you know, if he wants to be the social justice warrior, that's fine. He can do that. But he's just not going to do it in an NFL uniform.
Patriots face some NFC East lumber again this coming Sunday, Boomer. Cowboys at Patriots. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to take the Patriots. It's at home. Now, the one thing about the Cowboys that I've noticed the last few weeks, this is really becoming Dak Prescott's team. They are really throwing the ball exceptionally well. A lot of guys running wide open yesterday against Detroit. That's not going to be the case against New England. This will be a really interesting game. It's obviously going to be highlighted by everybody. I think it's a 4:25 game. So I still like the Patriots. I think their defense got back on track yesterday against a really good quarterback, and they should be able to do that against Dallas as well.
Are the Cowboys still America's team, Boomer?
It depends on what part of America you're from, I guess. I mean, not here, not for me. They're
no.
Not. I mean, I'm in New York. It's not that I can't stand them, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the stories and everything else. And, you know, they're an average team right now. They're a middling team.
Right.
You know, they're not a great team. They have some, you know, high personality players. And, of course, they have the big personality as the owner. So, for me, they're not America's team. If you ask me who America's team is, I would tell you that it's the Patriots simply because of all the winning they're doing.
Well, Boomer, thank you, and happy Monday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Boomer.
Bye, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.